All right. So, and today, this word that God laid on my heart, it's funny. Sometimes I tell Christy, a lot of times she gets a little more insight into the process of me writing a sermon. And sometimes God just gives me a phrase and I sit on it until I feel like he gives me whatever goes with it. And he put this on my heart a while back to preach this message. And as I laid out my calendar, it fell on today when I found out later I was going there. It's a little bit of a hard message, but I think it's an encouraging message at the same time. And I was like, are you serious? This is when you want me to preach this, when I'm going to go preach somewhere else? Like, I didn't get anything thrown at me. People were smiling when I left. I think they're going to have me come back here in a couple months if they haven't filled the pulpit. So, but be ready, all right? So today's message is called Pick Up Your Fork. Okay, I really thought about going to the store and getting everybody plastic forks, you know, but I figured some of you guys would be playing with them, picking your teeth, doing stuff, and not listening. So I didn't do that. But you know, there's two things in life that people say are certainties. What are they? Death and taxes. That's what people say. I actually could argue against both of those things being certainties, but I'm not going to go there today. But as I was thinking about this message and I was praying over the scripture, I felt like the Lord showed me there's one thing that's even more certain than death and taxes. So you can use this. It's free. It's a free nugget that I'll throw out there. It's more certain than death and taxes. You ready for it? Like one person was ready for it. Okay. Everybody is born a baby. Right? That's a fact. It's a guarantee. It's more certain than death and taxes. Everybody is born a baby. Some of you guys are shocked. Is there somebody here who was not born a baby? Like, was there one of you guys? Because I feel sorry for your mother if you were birthed like that, okay? But everybody is born a baby. Everybody, and have you ever told a kid, right? You tell a little kid that I, too, was once a little baby. Have you ever told them that and you just watch, like, you totally blow their mind. They're like, you were a baby? Like, because you've been an adult their whole life, right? And so they're like, there's no way. Like, this is not possible. What are you doing to me? But this is true, right? We all start life as babies. Now, technically, we define babies by a period of age, right? We define it by how old they are. But how many of you in this place know some 10-year-old babies? How many of you know some 20-year-old babies? How many? Now, don't anybody be elbowing your wife or your husband, but how many of you guys know some 30-year-old babies? How about 40? How about 50? Should we keep going? Right? You know, babies of all ages. I think we can cover every age group, but the point here is that we all start in the same place. We all start at infancy. Here's the deal. Some people mature, some people don't. Some people mature quickly, some people mature very, very slowly. Why is that? Sometimes it's the way they were raised, right? Like the youngest child, they don't mature very fast because they're babied basically for their whole life, right? They get everything that they want, except for Channing, like, but most other youngest ones, right? But I mean, sometimes kids can be babied, or an only child may be babied for a really, really, really long time, and they get married, and the spouse is like telling the parents, stop babying them, it's time for them to grow up, like, we've been married 20 years, they're 40 years old, they're still a baby, like, hands off, let them go, right? So we don't know the different reasons. It could be the way they're raised, it could be just that they refuse to grow up. They just refuse to come to this point where they pick up the fork. We see the same thing in Christianity, right? The word teaches us, the writer of Hebrews says that there's a difference between those who only drink milk and those who progress and move on to solid food, which I call meat, okay? I don't count that other stuff as solid food. Solid food is meat, okay? Vegetables, they're a side, right? If you're a vegetarian, I'm sorry, I feel for you, that's your choice. Everybody makes mistakes in life. We'll have an altar call at the end. I'm a carnivore. I would do a carnivore diet if I thought I could get away with it. My favorite thing is when I go to get lunch out of the fridge and there's like pork burgers and bratwurst in there. And I'm like, so what's Tim having today? He's having a pork burger with a brat on the side. right? Because that's my kind of meal right there, okay? So I like the meat, but we've got to progress to that point. You know, if we think about those who only drink milk, how weird would it be if you went to lunch with somebody today after church and they get to the restaurant and all they order is they're like, just bring me a pitcher of milk. Right, just bring me a big pitcher of milk, and I'm just going to sit here and drink milk while everybody else eats solid food. I mean, wouldn't that be weird? You'd be like, dude, what would you say? Grow up, man. Like, grow up. Men don't do that. Grown women, they don't do that. They don't just drink milk. You're not going to get just milk for lunch, so you're not getting just milk from this word today either. Better get ready to pick up your fork, all right? So Hebrews chapter 5 is where we're going to be if you want to follow along, or it'll be on the screen as well. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. He says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, but you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." He says, for though by this time, say by this time. Okay, by this time is talking about the length of time they've been following Jesus. When you see time in the Bible, in the New Testament, sometimes it's referring to a season, and sometimes it's referring to a amount of time, a specific length of time. This is the Greek word chronos, which speaks of an amount of time. So what he's saying is here is based on your age, right? Based on your spiritual age, you shouldn't be babies anymore, right? It's kind of like with kids. Once a kid's walking around and he's getting into stuff and starts talking, and you know, especially as they start growing, getting into school, like, you don't call them a baby anymore. As a matter of fact, they'll get offended if you call them a baby. They'll be, I'm not a baby, right? You know, I mean, they get mad about it. And he's saying here that based on your spiritual age, you shouldn't be babies anymore. You should be teachers. Teachers. How many of you guys are ready to teach today? Man, nobody? We ought to be. You ought to be teachers based on your age, some of you, many of you. But let's look at kids for an example. I love using children as an example because, hallelujah, that's what we all are in the kingdom of God, right? We're all children in the kingdom of God. But I love kids. When you think about kids and they begin to transition from just milk, one of the best things they transition to are those little dissolvable puff things, right? You know what I'm talking about, those little puff corn things, and they got like the strawberry ones. They didn't have strawberry ones, I don't think, when Marissa was little. I don't remember those. Maybe we were too poor. Maybe they cost more or something, but those strawberry puff things. And you think about a little kid, once they're transitioning from milk and they start to eat those little puff things, they start to put them in their mouth. What's the next thing that they want to do? They want to put them in your mouth, right? That's what they do. I put one in my mouth. Oh, do you want one? And they come over and they want to put one in your mouth with those nice, wet, slobbery fingers that they don't even have to actually hold the little puff thing. It could just be stuck to a finger because it's so wet. Some of you guys are getting ready to throw up right now. There's trash can in the back. But a wet puff on a wet finger, it's stuck to it, and they're like, they just come and they put it in your mouth, and what do we do if you're a good adult? You just, I mean, kind of begrudgingly, you open your mouth and you're like, yum, and you're like, hold it down, just, it's kind of what I was like last night at playing cards at my family's. We kept talking about Vegemite, right? You know the song where you get a Vegemite sandwich from a land down under. You guys know that song. It's an 80s song or whatever. But so Channing got some Vegemite. Man, you guys got to try it. It was good. I put a little bit on a piece of tortilla. And then, Jimmy was putting some on his. And so my dad kind of told me I didn't put enough on mine. So I'm like, I'll lather it on there. I'm not scared. I put that thing in my mouth. And it was one of those things where you start telling yourself, just chew it. Don't throw up. Chew it. Don't throw up. You got to finish it. You got to get it down. And it took a while. It was really disgusting. And that's kind of how you can get when you eat the wet puff corn. When the kid puts it in your mouth, you're like, I'm the adult here. I'm the adult. I can do this. Right? I'm mature enough that somehow, some way, I can get that wet puff down without being immature and throwing up. So I can make this kid feel good by saying, yum. I'm just going to warn you, if you've never been in that place yet, get ready, because they're getting ready to give you another one. It's probably time you get up and like go do something, leave the house, whatever. If you've never tried that, I mean, I suggest that you do try one. Probably not from a stranger. Like, don't try it at Joe's later and like see some kid and like, can I have one? That makes somebody uncomfortable. But if you know a kid, if you got a kid in your family, try a slimy puff corn. They're delicious. They're delightful. But my point with all that is, who tells those kids to do that? Nobody. Right? It's instinct. Once they can start to do it on their own and they're like, these are good, I also think Wyatt would like one. Here, try one, right? Instinct is they just give them one. They don't stay on a bottle forever. They try them. They start to give them to others. And the writer of Hebrews tells us in verse 12, he says that by this time, you ought to be teachers. By this time, you ought to be teachers, but you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God, just the basics of Christianity, the basics of what God has said, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. Church, you got to know this wasn't spoken to new believers. This was spoken to mature believers, or supposedly at least people who have been believers for a long enough period of time that the writer says you should be mature now. And it's kind of almost like if God were to walk in the room right now where we have pretty much all adults, a couple of teens, but probably people who have known the Lord for a while, and he's looks around and we're all kicked back in our little bouncy seats sucking on bottles. It's kind of like spiritually kind of what the picture is being painted is you ought to be teachers, but you've gotten to this place where you need the milk. You've taken a step back. You need the milk. You need somebody to teach you the basics again, the foundations of the gospel, of the word of God. And it's to the point you need milk and not spiritual food. Can I tell you that at the start, we all need milk? Like, it's a good thing. Milk's not bad. He's not trying to say milk's bad. He's not trying to say throw out milk. But you know that milk is good for your body. You know that milk does good things for you. It gives you a good foundation. It gives you a good start. You got to start there. Milk is easy to digest for a baby, right? It's got nutrients. It's got everything they need. It's easy to digest. It's not just about chewing it, right? You can't give them baby food or whatever, even though it's pureed, but milk is easy for them to digest. Milk is also helps their brain to develop, okay? And then milk also protects them from illness and infection. It's got all the things they need in it at first. Milk, likewise, spiritually, milk gives us strong bones. Milk is this thing where, you know, I like milk, but I'm not one of those people that drinks milk all the time. But if you were to drink milk your whole life and nothing else, let me tell you what it would do. It could give you a good foundation, but if it's all you ever drink, it will make you pudgy. It just will. I can say pudgy. I feel like if I was to hold my shirt a little tighter, you guys could see I am pudgy, so I can say that word. It's not offensive. Milk, if that's all you drink, it will make you pudgy. And when we think about this from a spiritual standpoint, the milk of the word, the basics of the gospel, church, they're so important to our foundation in life. They're important to start. It's easy to digest. That means we can understand the gospel, right? It's pretty simple what Christ has done for us and why we needed that, so we can digest it. It also helps our brain to develop. It means we get to that point where we can accept it. It's not just that I understand it. I can accept that. Yes, I need a Savior. Yes, he died for me. Yes, I can be saved, okay? And then it protects you from illness and infection because it has saving power, the gospel does. But milk is the fact that every person needs Jesus. Amen? Every person needs Jesus. We're all sinners in need of a Savior. Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sins. He was raised from the dead on the third day, right? He overcame hell, death, and the grave. He offers us new life in him. All we have to do is understand that. We have to receive it, and then we have to choose to follow him. That gives us strong bones, church, right? We've got to be there. If you ever hear of a church or a believer that doesn't believe that, listen, stay away from them. Don't listen to their teachings. Don't believe what they're saying. That's the foundation of everything that we have. It's important. There's no way in our life, no possible way to ever get to where God desires for us to go if we don't have that milk, right? You have to start there. It's the basis for everything to get us to where God desires for us to go, okay? But what I'm afraid is what we see in the church collectively. When I say church, I'm not speaking about you guys. I'm speaking about all believers. What I believe we see collectively is the church is stuck on only milk, and it's getting pudgy. I really believe that. From a spiritual standpoint, the church is stuck on milk, and the church is getting a little pudgy, spiritually speaking. We really are. And the Hebrew writer says that most of us in this room, from the amount of time that we have been following Jesus, we ought to be teachers. I know some of you are terrified at the thought of that, but that's what he says. We ought to be teachers. We ought to have come to a place where we're a little more mature, where we can handle a little more, where we can do a little more. Colossians 3:16, Paul enforces this. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Hallelujah. That's great, right? We want all wisdom. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That's the responsibility of all believers, right? To let the word of Christ dwell in us richly in all wisdom, but also in teaching one another, also in teaching those around us. We ought to at least be at that point where we're starting to stick the little strawberry puffs in the mouth of the person next to us. I should have put some of those under everybody's seat and you could have practiced that today, right? But we ought to at least be doing that, giving the people around us just a little bit of something that's beyond milk, just a little bit of something. We got to start somewhere, okay? And in this church, in this place, I know and I'm confident in saying that there are amazing servants in this place. There are amazing people in this place that do amazing things for the kingdom of God. You do good works, right? There's a responsibility in taking care of what God has given us physically, and so we need that. That's good. That's not a bad thing. But listen, that people will do physical work for the kingdom of God any day of the week, right? Yes, I will. Well, except for cleaning. We usually can't fill up the cleaning sheet. But yes, I will show up to a work day. Yes, I'll provide food for, you know, some kind of special thing. Yes, I'll help with the kids for VBS, right? I mean, everybody will do some kind of work at some point for the kingdom of God. And it's like, I will say yes to that if you ask me to teach. No. Right? I'm not doing that. That's a little out of my comfort zone. It's a little much. Hebrews 5:13 says, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Say babe. That doesn't mean you're hot. Doesn't mean you're a 10. It means you're a baby, right? Like, this is a different use of words. When Christy is working at the health department, they're doing some kind of clinic, some kind of fair, and they put this sign up, and somebody apparently was used to reading the King James or New King James, and they put a sign up that said, babes, that way. What happened is all the babies were supposed to go that way. What happened was all the girls that thought they were fine started going that way. They were supposed to go the other way. But so, you guys are babes. If you're only drinking milk, that means babies. Doesn't mean fine. Spiritually speaking, babies. Okay? And here's the problem is that many of us, and oftentimes we're perfectly okay with that. We're perfectly okay with being babies. How many of you guys like to just be able to check out and have no responsibility, let somebody tend to your every need, like this is a me day, but you had a me day yesterday, and the day before, and the day before, and the day, like, you're a baby, right? And we're okay with that, with being a baby. We're okay with being a baby, but if we only drink milk, it says that we're unskilled in the word of righteousness. Here's what that means. That means if you only know and accept the basics of the gospel, you will be saved. Praise God. Hallelujah, right? That's great. That's a good deal, but the problem is that that's all you will ever be, is just saved. Just a bare minimum Christian, just a basic follower of Christ, just saved. That's all you'll ever be. He says, because you're unskilled in the word of righteousness, that means that you'll be living for the wrong things. You'll find yourself in this place that instead of your life being about, here's what Jesus did for me, and now here's how I will live my life for him, you come to this place where your whole life is about just staying saved. Preservation. Staying where I'm at. Not advancing, just keeping hold of what I have. That's where we find ourselves. And when we choose this path, it says you need the milk and not the solid food, because we lose sight of the fact that you're only righteous by your faith in Christ. It's not of works. It's not anything that you can do. So instead of growing, we find ourselves in this place of just trying to stay the same and often crying for attention, crying out for someone to remind us that we're loved, someone to remind us that we're saved, assure me of my salvation, remind me that God is good. And I'm not talking about having a bad day. I'm talking about this is your life. This is someone who's stuck on the milk. They're stuck on self-preservation. Reassure me of the basics of the gospel. But listen, he says that by this point, these are things you should already have down. I'm going to blow some of you guys' mind. I have never questioned the fact, am I saved, since I got saved? Never. Because I believe God's word is true. I believe that he said he sent the Holy Spirit as a guarantee of my inheritance, and he's not a God that's going to take it away from me. And as long as I follow him, I got nothing to worry about. I never lose sleep thinking, am I saved? I know that I am. And I'll tell you what, I make as many mistakes or more than anybody else that's sitting in those chairs right now. But I know that I'm saved because I know my Savior lives. I know the promises that he has for me. And I'm confident in him. Okay? We should have that down if you've been saved for a while. This is the foundation that's been built in you for years. We're saved by faith. You don't have to work for it, and you don't have to worry about it. Somebody say amen. So if we get that, then it's time that the church moves on to eating some meat. Now somebody say hallelujah. All right, this is good. It's good to progress. Something that won't just sustain you where you're at, but it will help you grow. What do people do whenever they want to bulk up? I'm not talking about get pudgy. I'm talking about bulk up. They eat meat, like protein, which is usually, I mean, like a ton of chicken or something, right? Beef jerky, hallelujah. Thanks for beef jerky, right? You can eat all that you want if you're trying to add bulk. It's great. I mean, it'll cost you your whole life, like in savings, but it's good. You bulk up, you're like, give me some protein, give me some meat. It's good. It helps you grow. And he says in verse 14, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, so he's given clarification, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Can I throw out a hunk of meat for you this morning? I told the church of God I really wish that I would have got chicken nuggets so I could just like throw them out there. I've always wanted to do that, but I'm going to give you a chunk of meat here. When we think about the difference between milk and meat, I want to give you a very clear picture that's going to help you progress, okay, help you to move forward today. Milk is simply this. It is what Jesus already did on earth. It's his birth, it's his life, it's his teaching, it's his death, it's his burial, it's his resurrection. That's all the milk. That's all the foundational things that you need in Christ. Here's what the meat is. You guys ready to move on to some meat? The meat is what he's doing right now in heaven. The unfinished work. The work that's still in progress. The work that's still to be done. But listen, it's been promised. This is what's hard for us to picture. In his eyes, it's already done. Okay, but from our perspective, it's unfinished work. We begin the Christian life on the basis of what Jesus did in his finished work here on earth, but we grow in our Christian life on the basis of his unfinished work as he's seated right now in heaven. Do you guys know that Jesus is still working? Do you guys know that he's seated in heaven? Right? Like, some of you need to grasp onto this today, that Jesus is in a physical body. He's not a mystical spirit. He's in a physical body, seated in heaven on a throne at the right hand of the Father. I mean, I know that it's kind of mind-blowing and it's kind of hard for you to wrap your mind around, but he is. He's physically in a body, seated in heaven at the right hand of the Father right now, and he's not finished with us yet. Amen? You guys know that he's working right now. I'm going to tell you what he's doing right now, primarily what he's doing. I believe he's done preparing a place for us. I mean, I mean, he spoke the world into existence, went through that whole process in 6 days, right? So I believe he's done preparing a place for us. That's not, I don't have a scripture to back that. I'm just telling you that's what I believe. Here's what I believe he's primarily doing in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. I believe Jesus' primary thing that he's doing right now is praying for you. He's praying for you. I mean, this might be mind-blowing to you, but you got to look at the context of this passage in Hebrews. The whole section around it is about Jesus' priestly duties. It's the fact that he is a priest forever. And what would a priest do? A priest would sacrifice on behalf of the people. He already did that. That's part of the finished work. But it says that he's a priest forever. That means that forever he will continue to minister to you and to me. Jesus is praying for you. Do you realize that he didn't just save you and forget you? He didn't just save you and put you in this place just to drink a bottle and just make it until he comes back. He is still working on your behalf. Do you realize that he knows exactly how hard it is to live this life on earth in obedience to God? Do you know that he knows that? I mean, go back to that moment in the garden as he was sweating blood. Right, he was so under pressure that he's sweating blood, and he prays to the Father, if it's possible, would you let this cup pass from me? What is he facing? He's facing the cross. He's like, if it's possible, like, could I not do this? Like, if there's another way, it would be great. I would like that, but nevertheless, your will be done. I would say he was under some pressure there. I would say he had some pretty heavy weight on his mind as to the things that he was facing on this earth right there. Jesus knows how hard your life is. He knows how difficult the things are that you're going through. He knows how hard it is to live on this earth and be sold out, devoted to the Father in heaven. And he also knows that he's your only connection to the Father in heaven. And so therefore, he prays for you. 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Man, Jesus is praying for you. I really want you to grasp that this morning. He's praying for you. He's interceding for you. When you're interceding for somebody, sometimes you're praying for them because they can't pray for themselves. Maybe they don't know how to pray, or they're too weak or too weary. He may be praying for you for that reason. You also intercede for people whenever they don't even necessarily know that they need prayer. You ever done that before? I see what somebody's going through, and I pray on their behalf. I ask God to show them, to reveal it to them, to heal them, to do whatever, and they don't even know that they need it, right? So he could be praying for you, and you may be sitting here thinking, I'm doing pretty good, right? We got that a lot when we went door to door. There's a few people that were like, no, I'm good. I don't need any prayer. Listen, I will, unless I don't trust you, I shouldn't reveal this to you because I might tell you no. Unless I think that you are not living right with God, if you ask me if I want prayer, I'm going to be like, yeah, go for it. I'll We can do the opposite. You guys can all line up at the end of church and you can go down the line and everybody pray for me. I'm totally fine with that, right? But Jesus is praying for you every day. I believe all day, every moment. I believe you're continually on his heart. He's praying for you. This is part of the unfinished work. Listen, this is why. Because he's not done with the church. Amen? He's not done with the church. Listen, this is God's plan that we gather and assemble and equip and go out and do the work of the kingdom. He's not done with what he's called us to do. So it's an unfinished work. Can I give you another chicken nugget this morning? God didn't call the church to get saved. He didn't call the church to get saved. The church is supposed to already be saved. He called the sinner to salvation. He called the church to go out and share the good news with power and to not be ashamed of the gospel. That's what he called the church to do. He didn't call us to drink from a bottle forever. He called us to progress to meet and then to go out and begin to feed others and pour into others in every area of our lives that we have opportunity. Listen, he calls us to stomp on the head of the devil. Amen? How come we're not doing that, church? The church is supposed to be a powerful army. You guys realize that? We're supposed to be a powerful army. How many of you guys would be afraid of an army of babies? I mean, it'd be creepy, but I wouldn't actually be afraid. I'd just go in my house and close the door. They can't turn a doorknob. Like, what are they going to do to me? Just cry outside the door? I'll get in the car and drive down the road. No big deal. I'm not afraid of an army of babies. Listen, neither is the devil. He ain't afraid of an army of babies. But what he is afraid of is an army of mature believers who are not ashamed of the gospel, who are operating in the power of God. He's afraid of that. He's terrified of that because that is his end, church. If you want authority over the enemy, listen, it's already been given to you, but you've got to exercise it. You've got to know it. And we've got to speak it, and we've got to perform it. We've got to do these things. God is faithful to his word, amen? You guys know back in the creation story, I love the creation story. When I start a new Bible plan and it starts with Genesis, I get excited. Because I love to read Genesis, especially the beginning, the creation story. God told Adam, he gave him a couple of different commands. He told him to be fruitful and multiply the earth. Hallelujah. Right? That's great. We're doing a good job at that. People are doing a good job. I mean, too many people are doing it sinfully, and I started off that way as well. Okay? No, I'm not throwing no stones here. I'm just saying people are doing that. Whether you're for God or not, people are doing that. But he also said to subdue the earth and have dominion over it. You guys realize that? That is a command from God to Adam. Subdue the earth, have dominion over it. Now, some of you are thinking that Adam really messed that up for us. But I'm here to tell you today that Jesus restored that for us. Adam did mess it up, but Jesus restored it with the resurrection. Hallelujah. And he said, all power on heaven and earth has been given to me, all authority. Now go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them all the things that I've commanded. Teach them all those things. Teach them how to live for me. He says, you and me, church, we're supposed to conquer this earth. Doesn't that sound great? Who's ready to conquer the earth? All the babies said, meh. Like nobody said they're ready to conquer the earth. So I mean, that's what I heard. Maybe it was my, hold on there. Who's ready to conquer the earth? A couple people. I got a couple head nods at least that time. So hallelujah. Listen, the army of God is not a bunch of babies. You know, one of my favorite songs that we sing is No Longer Slaves. Isn't that an amazing song speaking about our authority in Christ and how we're not bound by our sin anymore, but we're free in Christ Jesus? I think we need a follow-up to that song called No Longer Babes, right? Where we progress. It's not just about being free. It's about doing something with that freedom. Amen? Church, we need to... It's time that the church, or really even every individual believer, comes to this place where we're ready to pick up the fork and eat some meat. We've got to come to that place where we're ready to pick up our fork and eat the meat of the word. Listen, we've got to know what his promises are. Listen, you can't claim God's promises over your life if you don't know what they are. And yeah, I know you can use Google, but listen, there's more trash teaching on Google than there is good teaching on Google. There's more damaging and damning and heresy on YouTube than there is good, solid biblical preaching on YouTube. Like, you've got to know that your source is good. How do you know that? By their fruit. Those people, you don't know their fruit. Listen, any fool with a camera can get on YouTube and say anything that he wants. And so many Christians are so quick to believe it, like, oh, well, that's not what I've been taught all my life. Well, I'm going to go with that. And you believe some foolish teaching like there is no hell. That's a lie. That's the devil trying to make you remain a baby, trying to make you remain a little too comfortable. We are to put down the bottle and pick up the fork, but listen, and to get to work. The enemy has been defeated, and we are to continue to overcome darkness with the light of Christ. That's our job. That's our job. How many of you guys work with somebody and you're like, man, if they would just do their job, if they would just do what they're paid to do, this would all be a lot easier. Listen, if the church would do their job, if they would do what they've been told to do, given authority to do, this thing would be a lot easier, wouldn't it? It would be a lot easier. I'm telling you, the things that we're seeing in our world, the fear of man, the fear on the news, listen, this stuff would be a lot easier if the church was just doing their job. It would. It would be a lot easier. We're supposed to conquer this earth. He said, but solid food belongs to those that are full age. Guys, those who reason by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. That means that they're well learned, but it means that they're also well practiced. It means that they are doers of the word. It's my favorite thing that James teaches us. He says you can't just be hearers of the word. You got to hear it, but you also have to be doers of the word. You've got to know it to do it, but then you've got to actually step up and do something. Listen, we've got to come to this place where we stop waiting for someone to feed us. This is the Church of America. I'm waiting for someone to feed me. I'm waiting for someone to provide me with what I need. I'm going to tell you, there's nothing that a pastor hates more, and I've not heard this from anybody here, I'm just speaking on behalf of every pastor I've ever met in my life. There's nothing they hate more than when a church member says, I just feel like I'm not being fed here. Now, if they're preaching from the Word of God, you're being fed. You just don't want any meat. You want to live on milk. I'm just saying, if they're preaching the Word of God, if they're not preaching the Word of God, then you may not be getting fed. But I also want to tell you that the primary responsibility of this right here, right now, is not for me to feed you, it's to equip you. It's not to feed you, it's to equip you. It's to feed the babies. It's to make sure that they hear the basic gospel of Christ. The rest of it is for equipping, and you're supposed to actually feed yourself. You know what great comfort I take when me and Christy go out of town and we leave our kids at home, knowing that they can feed themselves? I know they're not going to die. I know that if, worst case scenario, they both have jobs and they'll go to a restaurant and get food, they're going to feed themselves. They're not going to sit there and cry until we get home 2 days later. It's great. But in the church, it's like everybody starves all week until Sunday morning and they're like, feed me, I'm hungry. Right? And all the while, they should have been feeding themselves all week long. It's time to pick up a fork. It's time to pick up a fork. Dig into the deep things of God. Listen to me this morning. You can understand them. You may not understand it the first time. It may take some time, but you can understand it. The ability is there. I know that this is true because if you've had the milk, then you understand the basics. And if you've had the milk, then you are indwelt with the Spirit of God. And the Word of God tells us that nothing understands the things of God. No man can understand the things of God except for by the Spirit of God. Except for by the Spirit of God. So if you are born again, you can understand the deep things of God. Hallelujah. You can understand them. Listen, it's not just for pastors or elders or church leaders or people who have been in church for 30 or 40 or 50 years. Some of those people are still babies. We established that earlier. It's not about an amount of time. It's about whether you're willing to pick up your fork or not. If you want to be mature in Christ, if you want to experience the power of the gospel for more than just salvation, if you want to be effective for Christ in all that you do, you have to move past only drinking milk. You have to. It's a decision that you make. 1 Corinthians 13:11 says, "When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." I put away childish things. Listen, crying that I'm not being fed is a childish thing. Because that's somebody that can't do it for themselves. Pick up a fork. Feed yourself. Again, this right here, this time, this is not to sustain you all week. It's really not. I would ask for hands, but you guys would probably embarrass yourself and say, how many of you guys remember really anything about the sermon by like 4 o'clock. Sometimes I don't. There are times where I'm like, somebody be like, "What'd you preach on today?" And I'm like, "Hold on a minute, let me think about it." How many of you guys remember it by Tuesday, or Thursday, or Saturday? And maybe some of you do. Praise God, that's awesome. But most of us don't. It's not meant to sustain you all week. It's meant to equip you. It's meant to do something to bring some kind of power into your life to be able to do the work that God has called you to do. It's an equipping session to do the work of God. Maturity and growth is up to you. I can't mature. How many of you guys have ever seen somebody struggle with their kids? I don't know why my kid just doesn't get it, an adult kid. I don't know why they don't get it. It seems like they don't want to grow up. I've done everything I can do. Exactly. You've done everything you can do. That's not on you anymore. That's on them. It's their turn to make a choice. To decide to grow up, to decide to change. And it's the same thing for us, church. We make this choice to mature and grow in our faith. You know how I know the things that I know? I'll tell you, I'm not the smartest person in this room, and I am not the person that knows the Bible the best in this room. I'm confident of that. But all the things that I do know, you want to know how I know those things, how I gained the knowledge that I have? For years, not for like a couple of weeks, not for a couple months, for years, I did not miss a service, I did not miss a Bible study, I did not miss a prayer meeting, I did not miss an opportunity for fellowship to talk about Jesus, I didn't miss anything besides going on a vacation for years. And because of that stuff and the hunger that was cultivated in those settings, I began to read the Word of God for myself. And I had no idea what I was doing. I did not understand it, but I was faithful to it. I remember a time when me and Christy were sitting at Jake and Tara's house and we decided we were going to do a Bible study. We were babies. We were milk drinkers. We're going to do a Bible study. And we literally all four looked at each other and were like, what are we supposed to do? And it was terrible. We basically took turns reading verses and then we'd all look at each other and be like, I don't know what that means. I'm like, okay, we'll read the next one. Like at some point, we're hopefully going to hit something here that we're like, wow, that's good. But you know what? We were faithful to try it. We were faithful to just dig in like, I'm going for it. I want something more, so I'm going to go for it. We're picking up our forks and trying to feed ourselves. You know how much of a mess babies make when they first start doing that? oh my gosh, they got food everywhere. And then they start flinging it when they're either having a good time or they're upset. It doesn't really matter. Food starts flying, right? It's kind of like that spiritually when you start trying to feed yourself. It's going to be messy. You may not even be fulfilled when you're done. You may be like, man, that kind of stunk, and I made a huge mess, and I don't even know what to do. It seemed like it was a waste of time. It's not a waste of time. It's training. It's training for maturity. It's learning how to hold the fork. It's learning how to hit your mouth instead of your forehead, right, with the fork. It's learning when you've had enough, when you're full. It's learning when you're hungry. It's learning all of those things, church. If the church is lacking power, it's not God, right? He's not the problem in the scenario. If the church is lacking power, God is not the problem. Jesus went to heaven and said, I'm sending my spirit, right? He said, it's good for you that I go away because I'm going to send the helper, which he did. And he says, when the spirit comes upon you, you'll receive power, which you will. I think our problem is that people want a power bottle. That's just the truth. We want a power bottle. Like, I want to be able to do something amazing, but I don't want to work for it. I want to be able to do something. I want to see cool things, but I want to see people healed at the altar, but I don't want to commit any time to prayer about it, and I don't want to actually go down there whenever I'm sick and in need. I just want cool things to happen. I want to sit right here where I'm comfortable, and God heal me right here. And I'm not going to tell anybody about it, but it'll be cool because I'll know. Right? I mean, that's where we find ourselves a lot of times. So do we want the power of God? We've got to pick up a fork. The other problem is sometimes we like to be spoon-fed. I've progressed past milk a little bit. I want a little bit of meat. And what that is spiritually for us is devotionals. And I'm not saying devotionals are a bad thing. They're a good thing. You eat devotionals with a spoon like cereal, right? It's because it's revelation that God has already given some other person and they're giving you their input. They're sharing with you what God shared with them. It's a good thing, but listen, that's still not meat. That's like cream of wheat. That's like cereal. It's like a step in between. It's good. You can have it for breakfast, but if that's all you're trying to hang on all day long, it's not enough. You need fresh revelation from God to you. You need God to reveal things to you. I know those devotionals can totally apply to your life. And you're like, that's what I needed today. Praise God. There's times I get up in the morning and I eat cereal and I'm like, hallelujah, that's what I needed today. It was good. I enjoyed it. But I tell you what, when lunch comes around, I ain't looking for no bottle. I ain't looking for no cream of wheat. I'm looking for a leftover pork burger or three. All right? I mean, I'm just being real with you guys. Devotionals are like being spoon-fed. They're to supplement the meat. But you can't live off of revelation that God has given someone else. That's not enough. It won't mature you to faith. It'll just have you longing and looking for the next great thing that God showed somebody else. Man, don't you want what God has for you? Don't you want something that is specifically made and catered for you and your life and the path that God has for you? That's what I want. That's what I want. It's okay, but we can't live off of that. The Word of God says that you are to exercise both discernment of good and evil. So this means that you are to submit to the things of God. And when you submit to the things of God, then you are able to subdue the things of the world. This brings us back to that place of dominion. When I am in this place where I'm submitting to God, I can subdue the things of the world. It makes us an overcomer, church. But listen, you can't be an overcomer without picking up the fork. It just doesn't work like that. You've got to fully commit like you fully commit to a buffet on Sunday. Right? Fully committed. I don't go to a buffet thinking, I'm going to get me a little salad, and I'm going to get me like, you know, one chicken leg, Now, like, I don't go get no baby plate, right? I don't cut it all up like I'm going to give it to a toddler. I'm like, I fully commit to that buffet. Like, I'm like, why do they have bigger plates and smaller ones? Get the bigger one. Okay, I'm fully committed. I'm going to go set that down. I'm going to come back and get my dessert. Sometimes I end up with two plates. I'm just telling you. Sometimes it's because I don't like things running together, but I'm fully committed to this buffet. I'm giving it everything that I've got. Why do we do that? Why do we go to a buffet and I'm like, man, I ain't leaving here hungry? There's this thought that always comes to mind every single time. We got to get our money's worth, right? I got to get my money's worth. If you're paying for a kid who's a picky eater, don't eat very much, it's like you feel like you got to eat even more because you paid for them, you got to make up for them. I'm leaving here and I'm getting my money's worth. Why do we think we got to get our money's worth? Because we want what we paid for, right? I mean, don't we want what we paid for? If I go to a buffet and take my family and I spend $50 or $60 or sometimes it's more than that at some places, but I'm saying when I leave there, if I feel like we didn't get $50 or $60 worth of food, I'm kind of disappointed. I want what I paid for. That's just how I am. I think that you're probably like that too. If I'm not satisfied with just the minimum to sustain me physically, why would I be satisfied with just the minimum to sustain me spiritually? Why would I be satisfied with that? If I go to a buffet, I want my money's worth. Listen, when we dig into the deep things of God and we begin to mature into the image of Christ, I'm going to tell you what, Jesus wants what he paid for. He wants what he paid for. He wants what he paid for, which is an overcoming, victorious, meat-eating church. It's a church that has power. It's not only what he paid for, it's also what he prays for. Listen, church, you have no excuse. I have no excuse but to be a meat-eating, Jesus-loving, crazy person because it's what he paid for and it's what he prays for. And if it's what he wants for me and you, how foolish is it for us to not want that too? And so this morning, I'm just encouraging everyone. I want you to spiritually decide today, am I willing to pick up my fork? Do I want to live off of milk and just stay pudgy my whole life? Or do I want to get in shape and be fit and be strong, eating the meat of the Word of God so that we can overcome the enemy in our lives? Amen? Would you guys stand with me in this place? Church, this morning, it's just a simple call. It's just a simple call for those who are ready to declare, I'm a meat eater in this place today. I'm no longer going to be a baby Christian. I'm no longer going to sit around and suck on a bottle and just wait for someone to feed me. But I'm ready to pick up the fork. I'm ready to pick up the fork. And if that's you in this place today, I just want you to lift your hands to heaven. Lift your hands to heaven as I pray over you that, Father, we declare in this place, we declare over these people, we declare over the people online, if we have chosen today that today I will pick up my fork, I pray, Lord, that you make us, as Jay said a few weeks ago, hungrier than we've ever been before. God, that we would find ourselves in this place where milk by itself just does not satisfy, but we want the deep things of God. God, we pray that you would take us out into those deep waters, Lord, as your word tells us that where only you, only your hand can guide us, only our faith in you can keep us from drowning. Lord, get us to that place where we are fully committed to the buffet of the gospel, the buffet of the full gospel that goes beyond just salvation, that goes beyond just a promise for heaven, but it goes to a victorious, overcoming life right here and right now. Let us be those who will become teachers, God. God, I pray for those who have their hands lifted up, Lord, that you will raise them up to be teachers because they ought to be by now. Lord, that you are faithful to your word, that you are faithful to your promises, Lord. And your word says that if we seek you, that we will find you. Your word says that if we knock, that the door will be opened. Your word tells us that if we hunger and thirst for righteousness, that we will be filled. Lord, your word tells us to go, to share, to preach, to teach. And I pray for everyone in the sound of my voice, Lord, that you would show us what that looks like for each one of us, Lord. That today as we choose to eat meat, that we will not be ashamed of the gospel. We won't be ashamed of the power of it. Lord, that we will see signs, wonders, and miracles. Lord, that we will see the hearts of men and women turned from their wicked ways and turned toward you just like it did for us. Lord God, I pray for everyone in this room right now. If there's someone who has yet to even receive the milk today, you'd give them the boldness to reach out their hand right now. Lord, that you give them the boldness to step toward you and say, Lord, I know that I need you. Lord, I know that my life is not content without you. Lord, I know that my life has been chaos, but Lord, I know that you came and you died to save me. I know that you were raised from the dead, not just so I could go to heaven, but so I could have a new life, that I won't be who I once was, but I could be bought with the precious blood of Christ and be made into something new and powerful and scary for the kingdom of darkness. Lord, that today we want to be those devil-stomping Christians. Today we want to be those people that not just proclaim with our lips that we're overcomers, but let us do it with our actions. Let us have faith that abounds more and more and more, that the more we know you, the more that we love you. The more that we love you, the more that we love people. And the more that we love people, the more that our heart aches and we have a desire and a passion to show them who you are. Lord, let your church rise up. Let your church come to a place, Lord, where we won't be satisfied just being silent and safe, keeping everything all amongst ourselves, but Lord, that we will be bold and daring to go out into this world, to no longer keep our mouths shut, to no longer sit still, but Lord, to be true ambassadors from Christ and to overcome the works of the enemy. He's already been defeated. Let us continue to stomp on his head each and every day. We praise you. We glorify the name of Jesus. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.